EPA is trying to figure out what its new lead standard will be. Water professionals get some clarification on transfers, and the Hill is abuzz as major legislation to fight climate change dies in the Senate. Today is Friday the 13th of June, 2008, and here's what happened this week in the pollution control industry.
This message is brought to you by ESS, world leaders in operational risk management software and services for environmental reporting.
EPA had hearings on Thursday in Baltimore and St. Louis for members of the public to participate in the formulation of a new lead control standard. The hearings solicited public comment on the proposed revisions to EPA's National Air Quality Standards for Lead, which would revise the level of the primary, or health-based, standard from 1.5 milligrams per cubic meter to within the range of 1 to 3 tenths of a milligram per cubic meter, measured its total suspended particulates. EPA took comment on alternative levels of up to 1/2 a milligram per cubic meter and down to below a tenth. Speaking Monday at ACE08, AWWA's annual conference and exhibition, EPA announced a new rule to clarify that permits are not required for transfers of water from one body of water to another. EPA Administrator for Water Benjamin H. Grumbles said he thinks, quote, clean air permits should focus on water pollution, not water movement, end quote. Whether a permit is needed under the Clean Water Act's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System has been an issue in numerous court cases in recent years. The final rule defines water transfers as an activity that conveys or connects waters of the United States without subjecting the transferred water to intervening industrial, municipal, or commercial use. Pollutants introduced by the water transfer activity itself would still require an NPDES permit under the rule. Coming up, Florida industry finds they can still use Option 1 for injecting wastewater, despite the complaints of local municipal treatment centers and environmentalists. And while one carbon control effort in Congress seems to have fizzled in the Senate, a new GAO report might spark another, after a word from our sponsor.
ESS provides world-class compliance solutions for total emissions management and greenhouse gas reporting. Collect, monitor, report, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions for all operations across your enterprise with ESS software and services. Find out why more than 30% of the EPA's top environmental performers are clients of ESS by visiting www.ess-home.com/discover.
Companies in Florida, and possibly other areas with porous rock, may continue to use the option of treating their wastewater before injecting it, even if it doesn't pass the no-fluid movement test, a Florida court decided. The city of Miramar, joined by the Sierra Club and several other municipal water treatment groups in Florida, argued that the 2005 regulation failed to protect underground sources of drinking water as the no-fluid movement standard did. However, the court agreed with EPA, believing that because it's impossible to track the flow of such injections in such conditions, the only logical method of control while still allowing underground injection is to do so at the source. Historic legislation seems dead in the water this week, as a veto threat from the White House and growing opposition from Republicans essentially buried Congress's sweeping act to control climate change by cutting 66% of greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. The Lieberman-Warner Climate Security Act, which had bipartisan but not widespread support, was tabled after it appeared it did not have the necessary votes in the Senate to pass, let alone overturn a promised veto from President Bush. However, that hasn't stopped the Government Accountability Office from chiming in on the best way to establish such controls. A GAO review, published this week by Democratic Senators Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein of California, said that every panelist on the nonpartisan scientific commission agreed that Congress should consider a market-based mechanism to establish a price on greenhouse gas emissions, and 14 of 18 panelists recommended additional actions to address climate change. Experts on the panel deferred on the initial stringency of any such mechanisms, although over two-thirds of the panelists agreed on an initial price between less than $1 and $20 per ton of emissions. To establish a price on emissions, most of the panelists preferred either a tax on emissions or a hybrid policy that incorporates features of both a tax and a cap-and-trade program. This is Seth Fisher with Pollution Engineering Magazine. On behalf of Pollution Engineering and ESS, we thank you for listening.
This message is brought to you by ESS, world leaders in operational risk management software and services for environmental reporting.